Heroes Asylum, Episode 13. The Boys Release the Demons.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
And welcome to the Heroes Asylum. As it was so richly said, it is episode 13, Unlucky 13, some special 13 to some other people. And it's our little horror special. My nearest and dearest to my heart, I'm a digger, a lover of horror movies, old school, new school, black and white, film strip, outside, on an iPhone, doesn't really matter. I'm a horror freak. And this week, we're going to try to educate Captain Mike on some horror movies. Not the biggest horror movie fan in the world, but as always, every week he joins me. He's still recovering from the Avengers and some other stuff. Captain Mike, good afternoon or good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you doing? Yes, sir. Yeah, I am definitely an old school horror fan. I haven't delved into much of the newer ones, but they have been piquing my interest again. I did lose my interest in it, you know, a while ago, but you know, I'm more old school when it comes to that. So that's why we were talking about it. Like, you know, let's do an introduction, because the horror genre, it just seems to be revitalized again. And me as a person that's been outside of it for so long, I wanted to kind of get reacclimated, and I figured I'm probably not the only one out there.
No, it's alive and kicking now. There's definitely tons of films that have, you know, new filmmakers. I mean, James Wan is a big horror guy with his Conjuring series. He's done some stuff. Blumhouse has revitalized a ton of horror movies. I mean, if you watch the new Halloween, that's great. Basically, it's a sequel to the first one. Yeah. So there's definitely some good stuff on there. Black Mirror, not really a horror type movie, but kind of like, you know, in the horror vein. So there's definitely some good stuff on there, and I threw in some good ones.
Very cool.
Some good ones that you may have seen or you might not have seen. I mean, if I would have thrown my whole big list,
yeah,
we could be here for a couple hours.
But exactly.
I don't want to do that and bore the people to death, especially, you know, since we're still recovering from Avengers weekend. By the way, if you haven't seen Avengers, please watch it and listen to our spoiler heavy review.
Oh yeah, ooh, super boy. Spoiler heavy. Yeah, that one will drop. By Monday. So today's Wednesday when this comes out. So it'll be out for about 2 days. So again, we want you to listen to it, but don't listen to it unless you've seen the movie yet, because we dissect the living hell out of that movie. So definitely stay clear if you're not ready.
Yeah, because you're not ready for it. Yeah, I mean, people think they're ready for it. They're not. And we had a little bet, not a bet, but a sort of a friendly wager on how much money. I guess we could just segue into.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, because that's going to be my lead in. So
yeah, so we're just going to segue into the Asylum Ward. And the Asylum Ward, as you know, every week we post a news of great things coming in and out in the genre that we do incorporate. Captain Mike, what do you have for us this week on the Asylum? I think I have an idea.
This week? Well, I mean, this week we're going to start off with a record-breaking, groundbreaking, 100% champ of the cinema right now. Avengers Endgame has now officially broken the record for the biggest opening weekend in global numbers, as well as in domestic as well. But the global one is the big one. I mean, we are talking, and last time I checked about a couple hours ago, was at $1.2 billion. And that record was last held actually by Avengers Infinity War. But this one actually doubled the numbers. It didn't just go beat it by an extra, you know, a couple of figures. No, it doubled the numbers. I think it was at $634 million, I believe, if I remember the right number. I did see was for Infinity Wars, and this thing doubled it at $1.2 billion.
And the crazy thing, that's a Friday, Saturday. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday totals, not even counting the Sunday totals.
No, this number, when I was reading it,
is insane.
Well, no, this number actually was calculated. Yeah, they were calculating Sunday totals into it. They're looking at what was pretty much sold already. And you know, those are pretty much gross numbers, really, when you're looking at it. They don't have, you know, down to the penny, but they know that we have this many theaters out. They know that this many have sold out. And they're basically just, even if they were a million off, still broke records. I mean, they're still, you know, they're still going to hold the record. And I see them holding this for a very, very long time. I couldn't see. I know there was talk online on Fan Art or Facebook page about, you know, somebody making a comment about, you know, the new avatars coming out and trying to compete with it. It's they won't.
No way. No,
you have a one movie franchise, basically, that, you know, with these sequels coming out, then, you know, you'll have your sequels after that. But right now you're talking about one movie. Avengers, MCU, you're not just talking about one movie doing something. You're talking about a franchise, a decade long of so many, you know, 21 movies building up to this moment. Can't do it.
When it was well worth it, too. I mean, if you think about it, it made, what, $1.2 billion over the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
It basically made its production, marketing, all back in one weekend. So every other cash they get in is great.
Bonus, yeah. It's all just, bonus.
Everything's all bonus now. They're not even in the red. They're in the black.
Yeah, and you're not even looking at. They're probably not even talking about merchandise sales either. Your shirts, your toys. You throw that into the equation, now you're talking even more money. Yeah, so this is a. This is something that, you know, that these guys, you know, they did their job right. The, you know, Kevin Feige, Russo brothers, everybody, you know, and not just them that directed this, but everybody that's directed other movies, you know, all the guys that directed, you know, Thor and Captain America and all the early ones. Those guys, this is a win for them as well, because they all are part of this family.
I was just going to say that, like Joe Johnston, who did the first Avenger, you had Kenneth Branagh, he did the first Thor, Favreau, who started the entire universe. I mean, it's just...
Everybody is just...
Josh Whedon, you know.
Everybody's involved here, and it's a win for everybody, because it's an indication of how well written and well produced these are, all, you know, these movies have been. And characters that not just us, as the sweaties, as we like to say, that love, but you're now gotten the normies out there, the regular watchers, you know, going to movies, they've embraced these characters, and that you're guaranteed to consistently see a Marvel movie from here on out. So,
yeah, and I saw a meme online of it was actually a little cartoon characterization picture. It was a picture of a kid in 2008 in a movie theater. And then it flashed forward to the same kid in 2019, and he had a family of his own with the kid watching, you know, Endgame. And I was like, yeah, basically, that's what it is. A lot of these kids grew up and became adults watching these films. So, you know, it's basically the culmination of everything that ended. And I'm going to say this. I won't spoil it. You know, we have a spoiler review out, but it does hit the landing.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. It hits the landing. Perfectly, everything, it's tied up in a little bow, but, you know, this is not the Avengers show. So what else you got, Mike?
Oh, next one. Actually, we will stay in the Marvel MCU, Spider-Man Far From Home. Now, after the Endgame has come out, that will be the last movie of Phase 3. So we were, you know, right after that, we are primed and ready for the launch of Phase 4, which, you know, will include our Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Guardians, or As Guardians of the Galaxy, as we
I hope it's As Guardians of the Galaxy, man. I hope that, you know what they should do? Like, you know, when they make the titles for all these movies, especially Guardians, they always have like a little scratch mark, and they'll say, you know, Volume 2. They should have the same thing, like Guardians of the Galaxy, and then scratch it out in the little promos and put As Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, I mean, yeah, that we're now geared for the next phase. Shang-Li, I believe, was another one that
Shang-Chi.
Was in
the, Shang-Chi,
sorry.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, that one is another one that's geared up. And so one I'm not familiar with. I'm going to have to do my homework on that one. I know he's part of the world of for the Heroes Up for Hire. I'm sure it's along the lines of Iron Fist. So definitely some things to be looking out for. Next, your show came to its series finale, and I watched it today, by the way. I thought that was great. Exactly what we all wanted. Very reminiscent of, and when I say this, I'm not trying to compare it to that show in that style, but it was very reminiscent of the Smallville finale.
Yep.
That you're seeing things going on. You're seeing where these characters are now. Gotham, I don't believe I said Gotham, but yeah, Gotham is the one we're talking about. But yeah, very reminiscent seeing where these characters are now. And I can definitely, I would really like to see a continuation of this in some form, somehow. I don't know if they will, but I really enjoyed watching it, seeing where these characters had grown. And the Joker, just amazing. He gets tossed up there right along with the rest of them as a great version of the Joker. I have yet to see truly a bad version of the Joker. They all approach him in different forms and different ways and different styles. You know, all the way, you know, with Nicholson to Heath Ledger to, you know, Jared Leto. Even Jared Leto, I'm a fan of Jared Leto's.
I like Leto's Joker, man. People hate on it. I don't understand why. I thought it was a different version. So.
Exactly. I think it was because he was too contemporary. I think they wanted their old Joker, I think, because a lot of comments were about the tattoos and the grill, and I'm like, but if Joker was around now, that's kind of what he would be like, you know?
Yeah, he was kind of like a Tony Montana type of boss guy. I'm like, that's fine. I mean, what did you expect him to be like, Jack Nicholson Joker? Ha ha.
And then we would complain that, oh, it's the same thing hashed over again. No, we're getting something new, something fresh. I appreciate it for what it is, but I thought this version was great. I think he was like right on the. To me, he was a very perfect version of the comic version of the Joker.
Yeah.
He was extremely, like, he threw in that little, well, you know, what do we call you? And he started saying a bunch of different names, but never said his name, though.
Never said his name.
He's like, nope. No, that person's dead. You know, you can call me this or call me that. And there were little throwbacks, little, you know, Easter eggs for us, you know, for us in the know that heard. Like, oh, hey, that's a throwback to, you know, Jack Nicholson or whatever. And it was really good. I enjoyed it. Going back to the Acme, the pits, you know, the vats of acid. It was really fun. Or Ace, sorry, not Acme, Ace Chemicals.
Yeah, and I like the way they portrayed the Batman. I mean, you really didn't see anything. You just saw his actions, basically hiding in the shadows and fighting, and he beats up the Riddler and the Penguin, hangs him, and then they talk about it being attacked by a giant bat, and you see his silhouette jumping off buildings until you finally see that final shot of him on the rooftop, which is great, and I really wish they would keep the series going with the same cast. It's not going to happen, sadly, but, you know.
Even if they did it the way they did that episode, I think it would be fun, where you're not really seeing Batman. Yeah. You're still following the Gotham characters. He's just now an equation that we're seeing things that happen, you know, like with us, where we're reading the comic books and we're watching Batman do these things. Nobody's ever been gone on, well, what happens in the building next to where Batman is, you know, and that's kind of how Gotham was. It was, you know, what's happening on, you know, behind the scenes.
And you can still have Bruce Wayne on the show too.
Yeah, I just love the fact that you never did see him. It was always Alfred there. Oh, you know, Master Bruce is, you know, busy again, and I like that fact that, you know, it still is just Gotham, and I think they could get away with that in a more, you know, more up to date version.
Well, the next time we'll see Bruce Wayne is in Titans, I believe, this fall.
Yes.
So I can't wait for that. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Now, I mean, we are we're going into our horror film, you know, our horror genre episode. So I thought I'd throw in some news here for the horror fans out there.
Ooh.
They have, and I don't know if you have read it yet. There was an alien. It's not your Alien Resistance. It was an unscripted or the unreleased script to Aliens 3 that they had released in a comic book miniseries last year.
Yeah, I have one of those issues, actually. Okay. I was talking to Josh from Acme, and he got me hooked on it. It's really, really good. Okay. Really good.
And what they announced today, actually, through Audible, the audiobook company, they're now actually going to be having I'm going to mess up his name, Michael Biehn, who played Hicks in Aliens. He is actually going to be reprising his role in these audiobooks of basically.
Oh, wow. Michael Biehn? That's awesome.
Yeah. So they're going to bring that in, and they're taking those stories, but they're putting them in an Audible. So anybody out there, obviously, if you're listening to us, you like audio, you know, obviously you're liking audio things. So that would be something to check out, to experience that. Cause there have been a few really cool podcasts out there that have actually like recaptured that old timey radio storytelling. And this is kind of what makes me think of it in a more of an Audible series. I picked up a few Audibles. I think the one I love the most was a Star Wars one that came out last year, was From a Certain Point of View. And it's basically almost kind of like what you were just talking about with Gotham, these side stories of what happened behind the scenes throughout Star Wars. You know, it follows Boba Fett, you know, before he runs into Han at the hangar in Star Wars. And you know, they follow the band that was in the cantina. You know, you follow them at their trip to the cantina one day. And it's just really cool. And it's one of those cool, you know, little audiobooks and just like hearing those certain characters to do that. So, but being, you know, our horror one, I thought that was really cool, especially the alien theme. And I do remember you mentioning about the miniseries And I think it's a 5-part miniseries.
I think it's 5. I have issues 3 and 4 right now because they didn't have 1 and 2, so I have to catch up on that. But it's I don't want to give it away for anybody who's going to read it, but it's really good. It takes place right after Alien 2, right after they're on the ship, and it just goes from there. It just basically sort of erases Alien 3. Like, Alien 3 never happened, which is good because I'm not a big fan of Alien 3, but I didn't like it. But the book is really, really well done. I'll just say there's another company out there, and let you guys read it. It's worth the read. Trust me.
I remember that's what you were saying, and you and Josh were talking about that. At first, I thought you guys were talking about the Alien Resistance comic book, but this was a different one. So, and then our final one, we finally have gotten, and I guess this actually came out last week, but there was so much going on with Avengers, it kind of slid by. But we finally got our first look at the new Child's Play trailer, and we get to actually hear Mark Hamill as Chucky. We don't hear the laugh; we just hear the voice. Did you get a chance to check that trailer out?
Yeah, I saw it. It was okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It's Child's Play. That's what I expect. I can't see them going too much drastic. I do see the feel of being home automated and that kind of taking over a little bit. So basically
it's a home AI that just goes insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looks like to me. I mean, they're actually making a Child's Play series, I think, on Sci-Fi. It comes on the fall, which actually follows the actual doll.
Yeah.
His origins. So I'm like, okay, so I guess we're going to have two different Child's Play universes.
And hopefully we can get Mark Hamill in both of them because
you're having the original voice come back to Sci-Fi. I read that.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Hamill's not doing the same. He's just
darn
doing
it. Just more Hamill in our life is all we need, man. That's what I'm telling you.
Mark Hamill has, he makes enough money. Sci-Fi can't afford him. So.
All right. But yeah, that is all my admissions that I have for the war today. Did you have anything to add?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and turn this train ride to the dark side back over to you then.
Yes, to the dark side. You should cue in like a little voice effect there if you could later on. Who knows? But we're going to do some horror this week. Basically, these are the picks of movies that I watched over the last 20 years. Some are recent, some are old, but to me, they're really good. And a couple of new ones, too. One a foreign one, which is I'm going to start with this one. And the first one I'm going to start with is a film that is a Asian horror film. It's called The Audition. The Audition was released in 1999. The premise of the movie basically is a widower who basically is interviewing girls to be his wife. But little do these girls know that he's actually a killer. And he's murdering these girls little by little until one of the girls basically turns the table on this rich guy, and the movie takes a very torturous, grotesque turn as this woman enjoys what she's doing over. Basically, it's a guy who messed with the wrong, almost like a single white female type of premise, but right, like a little twist on it. So it's a good one. And when I first watched it, it's still kind of gruesome watching the kills in this movie, like using barbed wire and trash bags, cutting people's heads off. And it's quite disturbing, but you definitely should check it out, Mike. It's The Audition, 1999. The Audition.
Yeah, yep. I definitely have not heard. Yeah, 99?
1999.
Yeah, I think 1999, I was out of the loop. I think just for like, just kind of a perspective idea, I stopped getting into and watching horror movies about when Scream dropped because it just turned me off. And then there were so many other versions of that kind of story. What did you do last summer? I know what you did. All those just to me just were in the same thing. And that's about the time I lost it.
Lost interest in it.
Yeah, but
this one is a good one. If you want to start picking it up again, I would definitely start with this one. They talked about making a American version, which I'm glad they didn't, because the U.S. usually dumbs it down.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard. Yeah,
especially like the Ring series. The Ring series in Asian horror is creepy and horror as well. I mean, not it's horror, but it's horrific. And the U.S. versions, they basically dumb it all down. I mean, take a premise and just dumb it down. But watch the Asian version. Watch this film. It goes deep. It gets creepy. I mean, I don't want to give everything away, but just check it out. 1999. It's an Asian horror film overseas. The Audition. Very I cool. think, Mike, you'll like it. So
yeah, I mean, I did watch the American and the Asian ring. So I did every once in a while I would dip my toes into the water. So,
did you ever watch The Rings, the remake that came out recently?
No, I did not. No, I was good with
guess what?
I was good with what we had.
Don't bother. It's okay. Because nobody else did neither.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Yeah, no, I got my fix on, and again, I saw what you saw was the difference between the Asian one and the American one, and after I saw what they did, you know, in the American version, I was like, I don't need a sequel on this. We're good to go.
Check out The Audition whenever you guys get a chance. Really good flick. You'll check it out, and then you'll dive deeper into the Asian horror stuff. So, anyway, next one I got is a recent one, 2016, also a horror movie. Duh. And it's called The Neon Demon. Now, The Neon Demon, basically, it takes place in Los Angeles, and it's basically the glitzy, narcissistic world of modeling turned on its head. It's about one girl, you know, the little formed girl coming to the big city to make it big. And basically, every audition she goes to, you know, everybody's saying how all gorgeous she is. She has a unique type of look. And, of course, the other girls get type of jealous. And all along, the soundtrack by Cliff Martinez is fantastic. You ever get a chance to download that soundtrack, it's creepy. Keanu Reeves is also in it. He makes a little cameo as a sleazy hotel owner. But the whole thing is about the narcissistic world of modeling and how it could basically eat you alive and how the girls just turn on each other over and over again. And you find out why. You know, because every girl wants to be like another girl. It's almost like... girls fighting each other. You know, when you go out, every girl wants to be prettier than the other girl. Think about it in this way, in this movie. But it's turned in such a way that it's fused the modeling industry as well. So
is it like the Girls Gone Wild version of Fight Club or something?
No.
Sorry.
it's a lot more story based. You have to watch it to understand it. It does have a lot of horror stuff in there.
Right.
Like really grotesque stuff.
Would you call it more suspense than horror?
But it has horror tendencies too.
Right. Well, I mean, you're going to have your horror dabbles
lots
in there.
But
if you had to go one way or the other, would it fall more the suspense level?
I would say suspense horror.
Okay.
Big time. Cool. Suspense horror. So
I'm a big fan of the suspense genre as well. There's been a bunch out there I really liked. I haven't gotten a chance to delve in too much into them after my heart attack. I was a little scared at first.
Yeah, you don't want to get into these type of movies when you're recovering from a heart attack. I think you want to stay away from these type of movies, but definitely check it out. I think the director of this movie, if I remember his name, let me see. I think I have it right here. Nicholas Winding Refn. I think he was definitely going to be in the running for a Batgirl movie. He wants to direct one, but. After watching this movie, I don't see why he should. But if he ever wanted to do like a Neon Demon too, he could do it. I mean, I could definitely see a series being made out of this too, because there's twists and turns in it also. It, like I said, it involves the world of modeling.
Yeah.
And basically girls trying to one-up each other and what they would do to get there.
I could kind of almost with that style that you're saying that he's doing, I could almost kind of see a Batgirl depending on who the villains are. I mean, especially if you throw in a Poison Ivy and you throw in either a Scarecrow or a Clayface, there you have a horror genre style right there, and just have Batgirl in there. I would kind of dig a Batgirl horror themed one.
That'd be interesting. People have talked about doing a Batman horror themed movie for the longest time, so we'll see.
I mean, he does have a lot of select characters. Like I said, even Batgirl, if they just had to do a Batgirl one just to change the tempo of the superhero genre. I know they're doing, you know, the New Mutants, which is really like looks horror based, but
but when is the New Mutants going to get released?
they're still showing August, I think was the date I read last night. It's still out there on the timeline to be released. So we'll just see if it does or does not. But I mean, this is another reason why, you know, I was wanting to do this because of like the New Mutants. And then you have a Brightburn coming out. You now have these people wanting to mix the genres of the superhero genre with these horror themes. And, you know, there's a lot going on with those. So, it was another reason why I wanted to kind of delve into this as well.
Yeah. Well, to segue out of that into another type of comic movie directed by a comic book guy, John Watts did Clown in 2014.
Woohoo, clowns.
Sorry. I'm deathly afraid of clowns, by the way, just to let you guys know. Seriously, I can't stand clowns. But this one, it was made by John Watts.
Up for Halloween.
No, you're not. So John Watts, who did Spider-Man Homecoming, did this movie before Homecoming. And the premise of this movie is very interesting. Basically, a father for his kid's birthday is going to dress up in a clown outfit that he finds in his basement that has been locked away for all these years. He puts the clown makeup on, puts the stuff on and everything. And, you know, slowly but surely, he finds out that he can't take the makeup or the suit off.
Ooh. Little venom.
Almost a symbiote action. Yeah. Then you find out later in this movie by this old lady, because there always has to be an old lady to tell the tale.
Oh, yeah.
This clown suit has been around and has been cursed by witches. And anybody who puts it on slowly but surely becomes the attributes of this clown, a murderous clown, basically killing kids. And he starts killing kids in this movie. Until they, you know, you got to keep watching and see what happens, you know, the finality. I mean, it is a kind of hit by the numbers horror movie, but it's terrifying. Yeah. Especially the guy in the makeup, the guy who plays the actual clown itself.
And now it's like an old creepy side clown? Because, I mean, I realize clowns in our form that we know them as are about 100 years old. Like, does it say that it was like thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago that was cursed?
Yep. It's an old time suit. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. Yeah, it's, you wreck your studio. Don't wreck mine.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to. I have my phone. I'm sorry about that, guys. I'm turning everything off. Sorry about that. But anyway, no problems. It's 2014. But check it out. It's a creepy film. Lots of kids get killed. That's one of the things I was kind of shocked when I saw this movie. I was like, they're really going to go for that and just start killing kids like that?
Yeah.
It's kind of shocking. So,
It sounds like an interesting premise of that, you know, not being able to take that off and being controlled again in a very, very symbiote-esque. So that's pretty interesting one then. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know about you, but me, if I find some old dusty thing in my attic or basement, I'm going to put it on. So
yeah,
I just.
That's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to take a clown outfit. I go, hey, it's been lying in the basement how long? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It'll be fine. Let me just say, oh, okay. But look, it fits.
Yes.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Kane, how come that suit can't come off? I don't know.
It's the zipper's busted.
Yeah, zipper's busted. Kane, where you at? Where are you going? Oh, you know, I'm headed down to the mall. I'll be back tomorrow. Why? But it has that type of feel. It gets creepier and creepier as he gets deeper and deeper into the suit. So it's one of the newer ones, 2014.
Okay, that's cool.
Like I said, if you recognize the name John Watts, he did Spider-Man Homecoming, and he's going to do the sequel, I believe, as well. So check it out. It was one of his first films and, of course, into the horror genre.
And he is doing a bang-up job on the Spider-Man. So, I mean, so far, everything I've seen. So,
all right, here's a newer one for you, Mike, 2018. And this is a movie that really freaked me out, and that's called Hereditary. Let me see how I can put this without actually spoiling the movie. Hereditary is basically about this kid and this family that you find out slowly but surely is a family of witches that are worshiping this demon type of king. Now, the demon type of king has to come alive, and it involves a lot of beheadings, and it involves a lot of spirits being controlled. Like, the beginning of the movie is of the mother of this kid dead, basically in the coffin and all that. And you discover slowly but surely what she was actually doing, because, you know, you find out when she dies, she was beheaded. Lots of beheadings in this movie, just to let you know.
Can never go with too many beheadings. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just a good...
But the way they did...
That's a good Sunday picnic kind of day right there.
It's just a lot of beheadings in this movie, and slowly but surely you realize, you know, what this kid is getting himself involved in. The mother, by the way, is great in this movie as she slowly goes down that dark path and the things that she has to do, because, you know, she gets driven insane. Everybody gets pretty much driven insane with this kid, but the whole journey in the movie is just creepy. And when you find out, you know, the past of this family and what they were doing, and the ending is just insane. It's one of those newer horror movies, Mike, that I would actually recommend first that you watch.
Very cool. All right.
I mean, I
do remember you actually talking about this one. Because when you said the name, it like triggered a memory on that. So,
you know. This is one of the new ones. I would definitely say, Mike, you know, out of all the five that I'm going to mention today, watch this one first. because I think this is going to slow you, ease you back into it, and you'll be like, wow, this is actually really good. The other ones you'll get into, you know, when you have time, but this is the one I would actually say, no, watch this one first, Hereditary. It actually made some dough at the box office, I think, too. But this is one of those new genre type of horror movies that comes out, and they're actually really, really good. They're not just slashy, slashy, dead, dead, you know, it makes no sense. This movie actually makes sense. It talks about the past, the family and everything, the beheadings, all that stuff, wrapping the bow tie. I think, you know, anybody who watches it will definitely get some enjoyment out of it. So, and last but not least, this is an old one, but I would say it's the favorite of my list, is The Event Horizon. The Event Horizon is basically a movie about a ship that gets lost, but we don't know where it gets lost to. So the ship is called The Event Horizon. So they lose communication with this ship. So, of course, they're going to get a crew.
This is Lawrence Fishburne, right?
Yes.
Great movie. Really good movie.
Oh, man. And they basically are going to search for this ship that they have no idea went to. But it appears out of nowhere, you know, after being lost, I think it's like 20-something years. So, of course, the crew goes in the ship, discovers, you know, stuff has happened. The crew's gone. They don't know how. Then they start slowly piecing together and seeing what's going on with the crew, what happened to the previous crew, of where the ship actually has been. Now, I don't want to give away, if you haven't seen the movie, where the ship has actually been, but the whole lead up to it, it's creepy. Ghosts, horror, death. Mike, you've seen, this is one of the few movies that you've actually seen. So what do you... What can you add to The Event Horizon?
I mean, it's dark and twisted because you're not sure where the evil is really truly coming from and who is it infecting. And one of the things I remember was like when there are the death scenes just happen so trigger fast that you don't realize that. Because a lot of times in horror movies, you can go, okay, I know you're walking into that room and you're dead. I already know you're gone. But there are moments, and then this one that I remember, I think it was in the big room where the center of the ship was.
Oh,
and
this series
of like, you know, this trip, fall, click, bam, very, very, very reminiscent of kind of like the your Indiana Jones, you know, Steven Spielberg kind of like bam, bam, bam kind of movements that happen like within like a sequence of like 3-4 seconds. But an event happened so fast and you didn't really see it coming. And that's kind of how this movie, you know, it was. For me, very similar to Ghost Ship, and it's probably
yes, similar to Ghost Ship. Ghost Ship,
yeah, and I like that was one of the ones. Again, those Ghost Ship was one of those moments I took, and I dipped my pinky toe into the water. What's going on here? Okay, that one looks kind of cool. I think the cast was really, you know, interesting too, because you look at the cast and you're like, oh, that person, I know that person from this movie, and then I think, you know, you look and I think Carl Urban was in there for like a hot minute or something. Like he was like, one of the ship guys that died. Like he was like, I think the first or second guy to die. But yeah, it was just one of those fun movies that I enjoyed. Like I said, horror movies went to this different world when Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer and those in that time frame of movies.
Popcorn. I call those popcorn.
Very
horror movies.
Yeah. I mean, I
very popcorn horror movies.
I was born and raised. I remember the first time one of the first ones I ever saw was the very first, you know, Friday the 13th, you know, with Jason's mom, not Jason himself, but Jason's mom, you know. And
people to this day still don't realize that the first Friday the 13th, that Jason was not the killer. Nope. He was not even involved to the very end.
Nope. Yeah. Just the very last second.
still boggles my mind.
Oh, yeah.
He was the killer. Like, no, he was not. It was his mother.
Yep. No, he wasn't. He wasn't there. The very last second, you see him. And that was probably one of the best, my funniest things.
Oh, yeah. One of the best intro scenes ever.
We're watching it, and my stepfather leans over. My mom's standing there as she's watching it. And he just taps her on her calf, and she jumps about 2 feet in the air. right when he plays. So, but, yeah, no, those are the ones. Those Hellraisers, what I, you know, I grew up on. So that gore. I don't really want to call Hellraiser gory. There was just one specific scene, but that very just dark side of horror. And that's,
well, I dug all those movies, like the Hellraisers, the Phantasms. You know, I guess you would call those the horror Hammer films. I believe. I think that's what they're called.
Phantasms were Hellraiser was partially that. Hammer was more your.
But that was more 70s.
That was more 70s. That was your. Okay. That was your. Your Peter Cushing and. Just drew a blank. Count Dooku.
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee. I kept wanting to say Lee, but I wanted to say Peter Lee, but it's not Peter Lee. But those guys came from the Ham studios, and that's what you had. You know, you're rehashing of the original classics. You know, they redid Dracula, they redid, you know, Frankenstein, but they did it with that 70s, you know, feel and that flair. So, but you know,
those great special effects.
Oh yeah, you know, even probably one of the. Somewhat, it was really good at the time, and you go back and rewatch it. It still kind of holds up, but if you look back at, you know, American Werewolf in London, I mean, yes. I love that movie.
I got a story about that. That was one of the first horror movies that actually my dad went to take me and my brother, and we had to leave like half hour into it because I started freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
I started freaking out when the werewolf attacked his friend and basically cut him to 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
After that, we left.
Oh, really?
I gotta go. You know, that's it. I was a little kid. I was like, uh-uh. And my dad's like, we're leaving.
Yeah. Now, I was lucky in when I was growing up. My stepfather was a big movie buff, and he actually had bought two VCRs. So when we go to this go rent something for the weekend, as we're watching it, he's recording it on a second one. So we actually ended up with this massive library of VHS. Like, I'm pretty sure if I could find it, he's probably got the original Star Wars.
Wait a minute. So your stepfather was a thief. He basically robbed movies.
Yeah, we're past the time frame, so you're good. But no, I mean, that's what we did. You know, we watched it that way. And I think if I can find his VHS, I think he might have the original Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back still.
Well, you better get those.
Yeah,
you
know, let me go look for those.
Yes, look for them ASAP. You know, I was thinking about when you're talking about Ghost Ship, the beginning to Ghost Ship. And if you have never seen it, the beginning is basically they're on the ship, they're partying, you know, acting like nothing has happened. And this wire out of nowhere just starts slicing everybody in half.
That's just...
I was like, what? And that's the beginning of Ghost Ship.
Yep, that's another one I got into a few years back, and I don't remember how I came across this one. Because it's never on TV. I really don't even remember how I got a hold of it. Was a movie called Trick or Treat, and I'm not talking about the 80s one with Gene Simmons and Ozzy. This one is one that came out, I want to say it was 2004. Ish, I think it was around 2004, and it was a revitalization of the old Tales from the Crypt and, you know, Tales from the Dark Side and that genre of mini stories within a bigger movie. And, you know, it had just this one plot, this one string that led through, and it was a character called Jack, and it was just a little tiny kid wearing like a burlap sack mask and on an orange jumpsuit. And he was supposed to be a jack-o'-lantern, so everybody just called him Jack. But as these stories of, you know, these morality stories go on of you know, just, you know, just the things happening throughout the one night in Halloween, is you see Jack always there. He's never involved. He's just there. There's a scene where, like, these people are getting, ripped apart by these creatures, and he's just sitting there by the campfire watching.
I really have to check that out.
It's really good.
You're like the 10th person to tell me about a Trick or Treat.
So it's just fun. It's a fun. If you like the old, like I said, the Tales from the Crypt and that style, it's very similar. That and the acting, there are the actors on it. You would recognize tons of people on there. Like a few guys from the Battlestar Galactica, the reimagine that they had back in the 2000s. And you just have a lot of different actors. You're like, oh, I recognize him or recognize that. And it's just a fun movie. It kind of brought me back into what. The reason I loved horror is because it was these great suspenseful stories, but there was a bit of a twist to it and a bit of a humor. I think the biggest one I can point out to that had that I loved still to this day, and I will still watch those movies, are the Evil Dead series.
Yeah.
I mean,
I still love those movies. Even the remake they made in 2014 was really good too, if anybody gets a chance to watch that one.
Yeah, see, I never did. I'm a purist in that form. I'm like, I like what I have. Don't touch that. Don't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I was totally against a remake, but if you just view the remake as its own separate thing, right. It's a really good movie. That's what the way I looked at it. Because if you go in there thinking you're going to, it's the old Evil Dead type series, it's not.
Right.
It's just, it's his own version. And I was like, oh.
Now, was this a movie or was this a TV series? Because I know,
it's,
go ahead.
TV series was great. No, the movie, it's actually its own movie. I forgot who did it. Some French guy. I'll have to look it up.
Okay, because I do know that there's the Ash versus the Evil Dead.
TV wish show. That series never ended. It was so good.
But I mean, because that's when you first get to see Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, and his brother. You know, they all. This is where these guys came from. This is them doing these movies on their own shoestring budget. The original Evil Dead. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Was they got together and they decided to do this just kind of, I guess, a la Black Blair Witch Project. You know, they put their money together and just went out and did a movie. And that was one of those movies I loved. And, you know, of course, I got introduced, you know, to Bruce Campbell, the king of, you know, the B movies.
King of the B movies. Chin himself. Big Chin. You can't go with a big chin. Yep. There's actually, it's funny we're talking about Bruce Campbell. There's a meme online where a photo that people have actually put on there. They photoshopped the Infinity Gauntlet onto Bruce Campbell's hand. It's hysterical. And you look at it and he's snapping and he's going up your zombies. If you ever get a chance, check it out online. Somebody did a great job with the Photoshop on there. So, but that's all I have for horror movies, those five. There's no horror series, I don't think, coming out recently that I've actually done any kind of homework on. The new Twilight Zone series
New Twilight Zone. I've actually checked a couple of those out. They're actually pretty good.
Black Mirror is my show. I know it's not your show, but
yeah,
Black Mirror.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you tried to get me to look at Black Mirror, and I tried, and I like that style of writing, but to me, it just felt like they were forcing it. It wasn't organic in the way they were writing it. It just didn't catch with me. It was as if they were trying to be over the top and oddball on purpose. I know it's kind of hard to say because when you're writing that style, yeah, you're trying to do it on purpose, but it was as if somebody was writing them that's not familiar with that style. So they were like, oh, well, what would that person who does write this style, how would they write it? And they just went like a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
But I mean, there's some episodes that are weak, but there are a lot of people, like basically Hollywood actors in those series. So if you get a chance, it wasn't Captain Mike's jam, but do check out Black Mirror. I love the series. I've recommended it to a ton of people who actually like it too. Mike's the only hater on here who doesn't like it, but you know. You can judge for yourself. Check it out. I think it's still on Netflix, seasons 1 through 4, and they have a holiday special too. So with John Hamm, which is actually really good as well.
I did check out the Star Trek one. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Oh yeah, well I forgot. It's the USS something. Yeah, the Star Trek one is really good.
Yeah, that's the one I can't remember the name of it then. But yeah, no, I did kind of check that out. But like I was saying, yeah, I did get a chance to check out the new Twilight Zone. It was really good. I really wanted to get out. I didn't know if you had gotten a chance to see what was it, Us, and what was the other one done by the director?
Oh, Get Out.
Get Out.
Is really, I've seen Get Out. Get Out is really, really good. I saw Us. It's okay. I think Get Out's still a better film.
That's what I was noticing, because there's more and more of these great movies coming out, and I kind of identified with that with the director. It's Peele, right? That's doing these.
Yeah, Jordan Peele. Yes, sir.
That he made a comment about a month or 2 months ago that for his movies he probably wouldn't have any white actors. And I really agreed with what he was saying, because he's like, no, I've seen that story before. I haven't seen this story from our perspective, and I completely got that, and I really liked that kind
people
of stand
got,
on.
Yeah, people got bent out of shape about it. I'm like, I agreed with Peele too. I understand what he's saying.
Yeah,
he's seen the movie before, and like, you know, a typical white lead. I get it. Yeah. He just wants to, you know, hey, he just wants to do something different, and you know what? He's a big time director. He can cast whoever he wants.
He can. So. Yeah, but I'm also in the, you know, if you talk to me about, you know, taking and tokenizing, you know, a superhero from a different type of, you know, character to a different type of race, I disagree on. But actually writing a fresh story about a brand new person, go with that. If you don't want to do that, then don't. You're telling a story. You're the writer of this.
Yeah, you're the director. You've made the effort to actually write the screenplay, to write it all down, and you know you have a vision in your mind of what you want to do. And if you don't see a white guy doing it, then you don't see a white guy doing it. If you see an Asian guy doing it, that's great. If you see a woman doing it, that's great. If you see a little green alien being the lead, that's great. It's whatever you want. I mean, yeah. I don't know why people got bent out of shape about
it. Yeah, I thought
that's
that
his
was,
own preference. That's, it's just yeah. like, to me, it's very silly, and we live in a society today. It's very socially sensitive about everything, yeah. and that's the problem. You know, people can they just can't roll with it and say, oh, you know what? Okay, fine. Just, you know, get over it. Move on. So,
yeah,
I don't know how we got in that tangent, but, you know.
I was going to say, just because it's part of that genre that we are talking about, the things that are taking place, that you know, you now have a very strong writer. I mean, because right now he's kind of the king in the horror genre right now. Or, you know, he's
the darling.
Yeah, I mean, his name is on everybody's lips when horror does come up in this, you know, in our day and age right now, which I love the fact of seeing that, because he came from a, you know, comedic background, and this is where he's going. And the same thing, we've seen other directors come from a horror background and jump into comedy or jump into action, which is great. But I'd like to see that, hey, you know what? Yes, he was great. I mean, we quote at work all the time the substitute teacher. For Key and Peele, the episode where he's mispronouncing all the students' names, you know, we jokingly do that every once in a while at work. At least once a week, somebody will you know, start, you know, quoting that skit. So I mean, it's to see a guy that was so well, you know, so well rounded in what his style. Now he's jumped into this one and he's like owning it. Gives me hope that, you know, maybe we'll get more, you know, more people coming into the genre again, because it has been, and at least in my eyes, it's been an underground genre for so long. It's always been there. You know, it's kind of like I was saying about, you know, the superhero movies. It will always be a genre to us. I don't think we're going to see it as busy in the future, but it'll always be there, just like horror is always there. It may be a very quiet genre for a little bit. And have it jump again, and that's what I can see happening here. And it's just one of those things. I wanted to revisit it because I just haven't done everything we've been doing, and then trying to keep up with the comic book movie world. I just, like, horror movies is at the bottom of my list. So
the horror genre is definitely coming now. I mean, you have a lot like the Blumhouse Studios. You have It Chapter 2 coming out this year. So
yeah, that's right. It 2 is coming out.
They're going to do a sequel to Halloween, which came out, I believe, last year? Or is it the year before?
I think it was...
Was it last year? I think it was last year.
No, it was last year. Yeah, the Jamie Lee Curtis one, yeah.
Yeah, where she came back, which was a really good movie. Haven't got a chance.
Yeah, again, I haven't seen that. I was a big, big, big fan of the... you and I talked about this a couple of podcasts ago, of the Rob Zombie version of Halloween.
I love the first one. I hated the second one.
Yeah, not a fan of the second, but I loved the point of view that, you know, it took 30 minutes just to explain the mindset and the psychology of the killer. You know, it's not that they were, you know, giving him pity or anything, but you want to understand what's driving him, and that's
what made him snap. You know, I was going out with a girl at the time who just hated the first Halloween. Oh, because it glorified the killer. I go, well, you're trying to understand. It's a different viewpoint.
Not, I wouldn't say glorified. No, it definitely lets you understand his mindset.
His mindset, how he got to that point. You know, I'm fascinated how he got to that point. You know, if you ever watched the Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix, you know, it details of how Bundy did his thing. I mean, it's not you're going to go outside and start killing people. It's just so you want to understand what the mindset was that led him to do those things, which I think is fascinating, you know.
And that's what a lot of you need. You know, a lot of times it needs, you don't just need this nameless, faceless killer. Sometimes just what could scare you the most is to understand the reason behind it. I'll draw a parallel background to what we started this podcast with today, you know, Avengers. Mm-hmm. You understood, you know, Thanos could have just simply been this power hungry, I want to wipe out half the universe. But we understood. But when they gave us a reason why he wanted to do it, that made him even more dangerous.
Yeah, because you understood his viewpoint. Like, well, he is sort of right in a way.
Yeah, and again, it didn't give me sympathy for him. It didn't make me feel like, oh, I'm right there with you. But you're like, oh, I kind of see you, but not that. No, don't do it that way. And I think that's like with the Rob Zombie Halloween. I think that was a really great thing that he did. It was like, I'm not going to give you a reason to like this guy. In fact, I'm probably going to give you more reasons to hate him, but you're going to understand why to hate him even more.
Yeah, and as they say, the best villains are the guys who think they're the good guys. Yep. So.
But yeah, so that is our horror, huh? That's been coming out.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, you like you were saying, man, we have a bunch coming out.
We have
Child's Play. We have Halloween 2. We have the New Mutants, which again looks like it's gearing towards that. The Brightburn, which a Superman fan, I can't wait to see this. This thing looks just like amazing. Did it already come out?
Which one?
Pet Sematary, or is that still on board to come out?
I think did it come out? No, it hasn't come out yet. Okay,
I've just been seeing the trailers here and there. Frog, get off of my window! You're scaring the crap out of me. We're talking about horror movies and this frog's crawling on my window. Sorry, guys.
Well, if you ever read the Thor comics, it's actually Thor in Mike's window right now. So Thor has come back, reimagined.
Goodness. But yeah, no, I mean, just looking at what we have, you know, just coming out, there is a lot of horror. And I think because with the superhero genre slowing down, that's my next one. And again, we're less than 6 months away for Halloween, and this is just an introduction, kind of a gearing to see if any of our listeners out there is are interested in the horror theme. You know, let us know, post it on Facebook, say, yeah, guys, I liked it. You know, thumbs up. If you liked it, thumbs down. You don't, let us know, because if not, we won't cover it again. But if we don't hear anything, we do have a plan for the Halloween time leading up to do more of this.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some more horror on the table. I just gave you like a little piece, little nugget here and there of the five that I enjoy the most. So definitely check those movies out. The Audition, The Neon Demon, Hereditary, Event Horizon, and Clown. Those are the five that I was talking about today.
So, and I will actually add those onto our show notes, so that way if you guys are interested, if you guys are listening to this when you're driving, you can't write it down, just go to the episode and you'll see those part of the title.
Yeah.
So that way
they'll be in the Twitter and Instagram page as well. So I'm starting. Actually, it's going to be more on the Facebook page right now. I'm starting to load up a lot of stuff. The Facebook page is really starting to build a community over there first. We do have an Instagram and Twitter page. Slowly but surely, it's getting stuff on there as well. But the Facebook page is really starting to move and churn, which I'm really excited about.
And I really want to thank our international listeners, guys. We have just in the last couple of weeks, we had a big jump up in our international over in the UK, Brazil, Colombia, actually also just popped up. So definitely, a big shout out to you guys out there. And a lot of our newer listeners. I know we've gotten a few new listeners out there. So thank you guys for downloading us. Just always make sure if you guys do like us, make sure you do subscribe. If whatever podcast directory you guys are getting us from, rate us as well. Just so we know you're out there. If you're not rating us, I don't know who's listening, but I do see the numbers out there. But I definitely would like to get more hands on and be able to talk to you guys and have more of a interaction, because we want you guys to be interacting with us about what you like and what you don't like and vice versa.
Biggest interaction right now is in the Facebook page. And like I've told you 1,000 times, and I'll tell you 1,000 times more, it's not a webmaster controlling our Facebook page. It's actually me and Captain Mike. So if you say that we suck, guess what? One of us is going to respond, you know, in kind. If you got thoughts, any topics you want us to talk about, please throw it on the Facebook page as well. And like I said, and to echo Captain Mike's sentiments, we appreciate all the downloads, the likes, the subscribes. Please share. And please, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, I think that's good for right now. iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Yeah. We're on those right now. Those are the three main ones.
All right, folks. So yeah, and also, you know, just hit heroesasylum.com. That's where you're going to find everything that Kane just referred to. It's all there on a list, as well as our show information or show notes, and a way to contact us if you really just want to, if you want a private chat. We do have an email link there as well. So that is everything for us. We're finally finishing up with the rollouts for the Marvel Universe. So we're gonna next couple of weeks are just gonna be kind of business as usual, checking out the news and some new topics. We will be doing another movie watch along that coming up. We're recording it this up and coming weekend.
But
it won't be released until probably the week after, but we will be reviewing Buckaroo Banzai.
I haven't seen that movie in I think 20 years. I'm gonna wait to actually watch it with, you know, to do watch along.
I think I watched it last year actually.
I haven't seen that movie in so long that I was just stoked when you actually recommended it.
So we will have the Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai in the Eighth Dimension. So make sure you guys you know, definitely to find the movie. It's out there online, and just, you know, when we get it uploaded, watch along with us. The watch alongs are always fun.
Buy yourself a six pack or wine or whatever, and just get ready for some shenanigans.
Yes, sir. All right, folks. Well, that is it for the Heroes Asylum. You got anything else there?
No, sir.
All right, folks. Well, in honor and in loving memory, to a mentor of ours, I guess you could say, for John Schnepp, Sweaties United.
Get to the asylum.